I believe what the scripture says when it says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, then the Lord is in the midst of us. So we come to worship the Lord. We come to present ourselves to the Lord and let him know that we love him. We're concerned about the things that he's concerned about. And so I thank the Lord for that. I want us to turn to 1 Peter. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 22nd verse. And we're dealing with a subject that we've dealt with on numerous occasions, but it's one that the Lord has to remind us of from time to time. We'll give a title to this discourse. It will be Love One Another. And it's just basically a command that the Lord gives us. Our responsibility is to love each other. And I don't believe that there's anybody really in existence. There's something about the way that God created mankind that everybody wants to be loved, don't we? We want somebody to be concerned about us. We want somebody to show the love for. And that actually, a child cannot develop. We cannot develop as human beings without, in the proper way, without actually having love shown to us. Find in today's world, we have a lot of people that are in a very bad emotional state because of maybe how they were brought up in their families, or maybe they didn't have a parent, maybe they were in orphanages, and we find some very, very serious problems with these kinds of individuals, emotional problems, when they did not get the proper love. And one of the things that we have to understand is love is not just passion and hugging and kissing and all this kind of thing that we do, maybe do to a little baby or whatnot. It's not all just about that. There are some things about love that are very not so what you would consider to be a part, maybe a part of what our love. Part of the love that a parent has for his child, and we say this quite often, part of the love that a parent has for his child is to set boundaries for that child, to show that child, to protect that child. That's part of love. And so the parent sets some boundaries for the child that child cannot go beyond. And if that child goes beyond those boundaries, what happens? There is a chastisement that takes place. He gets a whipping, doesn't he? Well, do you know the Lord does the same thing? He says, whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? He chastens it. So the Lord himself, because of, he sees our future, he understands what we need, the Lord has set boundaries for you and I. And when we go beyond those boundaries, the way that he teaches us what his love is sometimes he chastises us. Sometimes he pulls us to the side and he says, I didn't like the way you handled that. I didn't appreciate what you did or what you didn't do, and you're going to have to do better next time. That's what the Lord does to us, doesn't it? And there is something about the structure that parents give to their children, that there is something comforting about that, about those boundaries. And oftentimes those children test those boundaries, don't they? They want to see just how far they can push out to see how far they can go without their and see what they can get away with. I did it. And I don't believe probably there's anybody here that hasn't done it. And so we're tempted many times to do the same thing with the Lord and with one another. And so may the Lord help us. We're going to read 22nd verse, please. Seeing ye have purified your souls. Now it's talking first of all about me. You, me. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See, you make certain that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. The first thing, in order for us to have a pure love, one for another, the first thing that we're going to have to do is purify our own souls. One of the things and one of the maladies that we have as human beings is we are constantly looking at what other people are doing and trying to correct them and make certain that they're doing what they're supposed to do so it won't affect me in the way that it is affecting me. So what the Lord is saying here, I want you to make sure that your souls are purified. We cannot have a pure love one for another if our own hearts, our own motivation, the very depths of my heart has to be purified. And the Lord constantly does that, doesn't he? We're constantly in in a situation where the Lord is showing us things about ourselves? Has the Lord talked to you about yourself?
Yes.
Has he talked to you? Many times what we do, we look at other people and we see all the blemishes and all the flaws and all the faults about them, and our desire and our design, and we put forth more effort to try to correct their flaws and faults rather than purifying our own. So what happens is that that person, generally speaking, that is giving me a problem, there are many times that there is a reflection, there is something that happens when they give me, when there's an issue that they have between, maybe between two people, there is something about me that the Lord is wanting to purify. Let's say somebody, we use the term oftentimes, that they're getting on my nerves. Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard somebody say that? There is something about this person's infirmity that is affecting me in a negative way. Now, every time that happens, what is that? That is for you and me to have a call that is a call to prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, because this person is, there is something, there is anger that is stirring. And so the Lord is saying, listen, there is something about that person that I've allowed that person to cut against the grain and rub you the wrong way, because there's something down in the depths of your heart that you don't even know about that I want to change about you. I'm not concerned about them. I want to talk to you. One of the things that we have to come to an understanding on, I have no control over what somebody else does. I cannot make somebody else do right. And that somebody else cannot make me do right either. There is something about me, there is something about what God has done and put in each one of us that gives us the right to make changes in our own life, but we can't force changes on anybody else. But that's what we spend our time trying to do. Husbands are constantly trying to change their wives. She gets on my nerves about this. I don't like the way she does this or that. And do you know what? I've been married 27 years. I know what I'm talking about. But you know what? The Lord shows me in the midst of all of this is there is something that I want to change about you. So this scripture that is speaking here, seeing ye have purified your own souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. I want to read what the Amplified Version says on this particular scripture. It says, since by your obedience to the truth. So what is the truth? The truth in one sense is reality. Let's look at reality. Now I know this scripture we're talking also about the Word of God. That is truth. But there are some things that we've got to look at reality. And so you have obeyed. It says, since by your obedience to the truth, to what is really there, to what God is saying, to what the Word of God is saying, to your obedience to the truth through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren. See that ye love one another fervently from a pure heart. So what this is saying to me is, and what I believe the Lord is trying to say to us, is that I've got to work on my own heart in order to have a fervent love for somebody else. Because every person that has ever existed in the world has character flaws. There's something about a person, take the sweetest person you've ever known. My mother was one of those. But you know, my mother made me do some things that I didn't like to do as a child. Sweet as she was, there were some things that I wish I could, as a boy growing up, I wish I could change about her. She's always making me do this or that. Take the sweetest person that you know of, and you put yourself with that sweetest person, there are going to be some things, it may not be a hard cut across your grain, but there's going to be some things that you do that they're going to have to make adjustments to, and there are going to be some things that they do that you're going to have to make adjustments to. So what the Lord is telling us here is my heart has to be purified before I can purely love and fervently love somebody else. I have motives. We have motives. We have things the way that we want things to go. And every time that we or interacting with someone else, whether it's brethren in the church, whether it's people in our family, whether it's people on the job, there are things that I have certain motivations, certain ways, you might say, that I want things to go, that you want things to go. There's a certain way that you want it to happen, and when it doesn't happen that way, there is something that rises up in us and protests, doesn't it? And if it happens too much, then there could be something that we have, a little bit of something that we have against that individual. I don't have anything to do with them. I just want to withdraw myself from them. I don't like them. I don't love them. I don't want to do anything. It can happen right here among the church of God if we're not careful. So what the Lord tells us is that the first prerequisite to have fervent love and fervent charity for your brother is for you to have a pure heart. For you to look at your motivations. For you to look at why this is bothering me. Lord, what are you trying to say to me when I have purified my own soul in obeying the truth of God's word? Then that allows me to have fervent charity for my brothers. And if there's something wrong with me, then there is something there is going to hinder and block my love for my brother. Somebody does something to you. Has anybody ever done anything to you that you didn't like? Has anybody ever offended you in some kind of a way and it affected you in a negative way? All of us have been offended. And I'm going to tell you what I see that troubles me. So many people, maybe somebody in the church that is affiliated with the church does something that they shouldn't do. Do you realize that saints do things that they shouldn't do? Maybe they don't even know it. Do you know I've offended people that I didn't even know I offended them? Do you know that the enemy has presented to me, to my mind, that there are people, you see what they didn't do, you see what they did do, to bring out an offense. And what am I to do with that? I'm to ask the Lord, charity, what does it do? It covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't matter what somebody does. Lord, I want you to purify my motives, my heart. I want to obey the truth. And you said to me to have fervent love one for another. I am to see to it. I am to take special attention to it that I love, have fervent charity one toward another. And if I don't love one another fervently, then there is something that I need to examine about me. Because if the Lord tells me that I've got to love my enemies, surely I can love my brothers. Surely you can love your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or the folks in the church. Well, we have this justification that, you know what? I just won't have anything to do with them. I'll withdraw, and I just won't have anything to do with them. But it says, no, what's that? There is something impure about your motivation. You're protecting yourself. All of us protect ourselves to some degree, don't we? We have this self-defense that if somebody hurts me too many times, then I'm just going to put up this shield and I'm going to have nothing to do with them. But you know what? Your love is going to be affected by that. You know what? You can win somebody if you love them enough. You can win them. Jesus won me. He won you. And he's still wooing us. And how many times has people done to us what we've done to the Lord? We've abused him. And he still wants to have a relationship with us. We've spit on his face. We've rejected him. We told him over and over and over, not now, Lord, not now, not yet. Very few people give their hearts to the Lord the first time he comes and talks to them. And we say for years, not yet, Lord. I'm not really ready to give everything that you're requiring of me. I'm not really ready to give all of that just yet. Not now, Lord. And he still comes back because he loves us. All right? All right, let's go a little further. I want to deal with that heart. Somebody said it in Sunday school today. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. 9th verse. Let's read that. Jeremiah 17, verse 9.
The heart is deceitful above all things.
The heart is deceitful above all things.
And desperately wicked.
And it is desperately wicked.
Who can know it?
Who can know it? Who can really know the heart? Who can really know the motivations that we experience? Who can really know that? All right?
I, the Lord,
search the heart.
I try the reins.
Even to give to every man
according to his ways.
And according to the fruit of his doings. All right, so if a heart is deceitful and I don't have the capacity of really, truly knowing my own heart, then I need somebody else to search my heart for me, don't I? So the Lord says, I'll do it for you. I'll search your heart. I'll let you know whether or not there's a level of purity in your heart that it needs to be. So the Lord says, I search the heart. I try the reins. I want you to know. And then what he does, he gives us, he's an analyst, you might say. Then you have somebody that has an ability to go in and analyze everything about a particular matter, then go in and analyze it. He's an expert on it, isn't he? He's an expert on hearts. He has, you know, a person that goes to a doctor. And maybe the doctor says you need a heart transplant or something like that. What do? They don't go to somebody that practices medicine, some family doctor that practices medicine. They go to a specialist, don't they? Somebody that has been recommended to somebody else. And do you know the Lord Jesus is one of those specialists? He's the only one that has ever changed a heart without making an incision. He's taken out our stony hearts and he's put in a heart of flesh. He says that he's able to do that. So first thing what he has to do, he looks at the heart and he makes decision. That's not the word. But in essence, what the Lord does, he searches our heart and he sees what's there. He sees what needs to change about the matters of our heart. And so what he assesses it. Thank you. He assesses it. And he makes a recommendation that there is something impure. This heart, yes, maybe we're saved and we're sanctified and we're living for the Lord. But he says there are some things about your heart that are deceit you don't even know about. There are some things about the motivation and why you're doing what you're doing and why you're stepping back and why all of this. He makes an assessment of the situation and then he makes a recommendation that you need to come to me and ask for your heart to be purified. Because that's what's causing you to have this animosity against your brother that you have. That's what's causing you not to love your wife or your husband or the boss or whoever it is that you have a little bit against. There's something wrong with your heart. Oh yeah, there's something wrong with his, but that's not the problem, that's a problem. Your heart is the problem. Because God did not make it contingent upon you to treat me right. That way I can live a good, solid, saved, holy life. Because everybody in the world is going to treat me like they should. The Lord made it some way about my heart, your heart, our hearts, that we can live like we're supposed to live and have love one toward another, even when you're doing me wrong. Even when somebody is doing you wrong. Lord, help us. But the only way for that to happen is I've got to purify my heart. And I've got to understand that my heart is deceitful above all. It has the potential of being completely deceiving me, us, our hearts. All right? It takes the Lord to tell us what's in our heart, doesn't it? I alone don't have the ability to know it. I can't know it. But the Lord knows it. He knows the essence of it. All right? All right, let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Very, very familiar text of Scripture. But it's, you know what, really this particular passage of Scripture we could stay on for a long period of time and really preach a lot out of it because there's a lot in it. Let's start at 13 and verse 1. All right, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have charity, I've become as sounding brass
or tinkling cymbal.
Though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries
and all knowledge,
though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and I don't have the love of God in my heart, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have the love that I'm supposed to have, it profits me nothing. So what does he say? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, these are things that people are desiring. Though people look at me as this individual, as somebody that speaks with the tongues of men and angels, and they don't have charity, what's the profit? There is no profit. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy, I may have a lot going for us. But you know, what he's showing us here is the actual exalted place of love. It's far above anything that we could even imagine. That it is It is the glue that holds a family together. It is the glue that holds a husband and a wife together. It is the glue that holds the church of God together. Why do we say that? Because Scripture very, very plainly says, God is love. All right? So the glue that holds us together is the love of God. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us not to make excuses about not loving one another or somebody. I love everybody but. Lord, help us. So he says, if you have all of this ability to speak well and you don't have love, then you're nothing. Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and you can expound and all the knowledge that you have, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. And you know what some of the things that we are seeking for? We're seeking, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me the faith that I can believe. Do you know faith works by love? What the Scripture says, I cannot have the proper faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without the proper love for Him. So it is not so much, and I think that sometimes we tend to exalt faith, and it says on down in the Scriptures that the greatest of these is charity. Faith, hope, the greatest of these is charity. So may the Lord help us to understand that what we're to seek for is not, Lord, don't give me more faith, give me more of the love of God that I need in my heart, Lord. Because, you know, some folks are hard to love. They really are. Some people do not have the kind of a personality that it just makes them warm and fuzzy to be around. Some people have awful personalities. We all know somebody that's got a bad personality. Do you know that person needs love? And do you know that sometimes we need to pray and we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to know how to extend the love of God to this individual because my love has run out. Do you know I have been in situations and places like this that my love for an individual has run out? And so what do? We ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be able to love them with a godly love down in the very depths of my heart. Help me to look and examine myself. And you know there have been times that I've had to go and I've had to bow down before the Lord. And I've had to say, Lord, I will need you to help me to be able to have the love that I need for this individual. I need you to look at my heart. I need you to examine where I am, where I'm coming from. And you know, oftentimes, the Lord shows me something 99.99% of the time. He shows me something about me that needs to change. And do you know, when I change, oftentimes, it really doesn't matter if that other person changes. When I get the grace that I need in my soul, when you get the grace that you need in your soul, that person doesn't bother you anymore. You need more love. Let us love one another. See that you do it with a pure heart, fervently. But the essence, the foundation is, I've got to have a pure heart. And if my heart is not pure, I'm not going to be able to love them like I'm supposed to love them. Lord, help us. All right? So, fourth verse. All right, now this is the actions and reactions of love. This is what it looks like practically. This is what it looks like in a practical sense. All right? And let me tell you, when you really get to looking at this, it is not an easy task from the standpoint of human beings to love like this. We're going to have a love that is divine, a love that comes from God. We're going to have to look at ourselves and wonder, Lord, can I really do this? What does it say here on this first one? Charity does what?
Suffereth long.
Charity suffers long.
And is kind.
Charity suffers. What does suffering mean? What does that mean?
You put up with.
You bear pain. So it says charity suffers long. Love. How long is long? How long is long? As long as necessary. Charity suffers long. This is so somebody is doing something that's getting on your nerve, and you say, I'm going to get last. Yesterday I put up with it. Today I ain't putting up with it no more. How long is long? Lord, help us. This is how it looks practically. I didn't say that. This is what the Bible says. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love. What's another one? Long-suffering. long-suffering. Can you really have love without having long-suffering? All right? You got a baby. Did the baby wake you up last night, Sister Melanie? Did you have it overnight? You didn't wake up? All right, that's a good baby. Well, I didn't have any that didn't wake me up in the middle of the night. Your baby wake you up last night? Did you want to get up? How many times did he wake you up? How many? Three times. Oh, that felt good. Oh, jumps up every time. And you just getting into the, what do you call it, the REM? REM cycle. And you're just getting a good sleep. And then, wow, you hear this cry. And you, what do? You poke your wife. You tell her to get it's your turn. We do that, don't we? But you know what? You woke up too. You're up too. You might as well get up and take care of the baby. Charity suffers long. This is not something I want to put up with. The sweetest little thing, this little baby, but it wakes me up and it makes me suffer. And how long do I stay up with the baby while she's got colic and you're, how long do you stay up with her? I'm going to stay up with you, baby, for the next 15 minutes, then I'm going back to bed. Is that what you say? Right, if you ain't got this burp done in 15 minutes, it's all out. I'm going to go shut you in some room, and I'm not going to, you don't do that, do you? If you have to stay up all night with that baby rocking and trying to find out what the problem is, you'll do that. Why? Because you love that child. We'll do that for our little babies. You know what? And what we're finding that we're coming into a place where there's not natural affection, that mothers won't do that anymore. They go and take their baby, wrap it up, and set it on some kind of doorstep for somebody else to take care. Lord, help us. This is where we're going. This is the direction that life is, that our generation is going in. But what I want to say here is charity suffers. One of the things that we don't see, the qualities of love, is it has the ability to suffer for a long time. Suffers long. Not just for a little while, but for as long as necessary. So you know what that means? That means when somebody does something against what your best judgment is that they should do, how long should you bear under them? Now we understand with a little baby that we have the love for that child, and we'll suffer as long as necessary in order to see that child not suffer anymore. But do you know that most of the time, the things that people are doing and how they're coming against us, there's something about their very being that they're suffering. They themselves are in a stage of suffering, and they need somebody to be there to show them just a little bit of love. And they're going in various ways trying to find it, and they can't find love. And so what the Lord wants you and I to do is to show them that love, so we suffer with them. We put up with their drama. Lord, help us. Amen. And it's not easy, is it? It's not something that we want to do. So charity suffers for a long time. It suffers as long as needed. All right? So charity suffers as long as it needs to. Lord, help us. And you know what? As I said before, how many times did we reject God before we accepted Him? Ever remember being in the middle of some sinful deed and God starts speaking to you? And you say, Lord, this is the worst time that you could ever start speaking to me. I was enjoying it until you start talking to me. Not now, not now. Don't talk to me now. Have we ever done something like that and He's still wooing us? You know, you see the suffering that He did when the nails were put in His hands and His feet and the thorns put on His brow. Why? For me, for what I was doing. He reached way into the future and He said, this brother, this creation of mine is going to commit some sin and I'm going to die for him, for her, for you, for us. I'm going to suffer for as long as it's needed to be up here for me to die. I'm going to suffer. This is what it looks like. Lord, help me that I'm willing to suffer for your creation as well. Yes. That I'm willing to put up with it. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to seek the Lord that the Lord would change their mind and change the essence of where they are. Lord, have mercy. Amen. All right. Let's keep reading. Now, let me tell you. Now, suffering is one thing. Have you ever saw somebody do something? I'm willing to suffer, but you stomping their feet and throwing stuff, and it's kind while it's suffering. And do you know the only way to do that is that you have to have a purity of heart. A purity of heart. Lord, help us. The Lord has to teach us how to do this. You're not going to learn it just in one discourse, but it points us in the right direction, doesn't it? It suffers long, and charity is kind. And it's kind while it's suffering. All right? When it gets in the worst of situations, it's still kind. All right? Read.
Charity envieth not.
It does not envy. So you got something that, I wanted one of them. We're going to have Christmas, right? Somebody gets a brand new car for Christmas. Oh, look at that. She thinks she's something. Strutting around, showing everybody what she got. I don't care. You ever heard somebody say something like that? They got this and they want everybody to see it. It don't even matter. It ain't even that nice to begin with. I don't like the color of it. What's that? Is that showing love? It envieth not. I wish it was mine. That's what you're really saying. I wish it was mine. It wouldn't be so ugly in that color if it was yours, would it? Lord, help us. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Okay, I want to read out of the Amplified Version for a moment because I think it brings out some very subtle and good points that we need to take a look at. It says, love endures long and is patient and it is kind. This is what it is. And if I can't be kind to somebody, is it really love? Now, what does that mean, Brother Daryl? Do you ever get stern with, have you ever gotten stern with somebody and your children or something like that? Have you ever done that? Does that mean you don't love them? No. That means that there is a kindness even in our reprimand, isn't it? There is something about the way that we reprove that there is, they understand. One of the things my parents reproved us, we reproved our children. I've seen others reprove other individuals, and there never was this concern that they didn't love us. We understood that there was a love, and what they did, there was a love that they had in their heart for what they were doing. They loved us. So this is why they did what they did, all right? So it says, love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited or arrogant and inflated with pride. Don't we see this happening all the time? That it says it's never envious or boils over with jealousy. You're envious of what somebody else has and you're jealous of what they've got. Lord, help us. This is not the love of God. And so what we have to do is we have to make certain. Now why? We got to make certain that is not part of my heart. And part of the thing that I wish them ill because I am suffering something. Lord, help us. All right? It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. It's not rude. Have you ever seen somebody that's rude? That's kind of one of the little pop phrases that the children say. Rude. Because somebody is rude. Love is not rude. Lord, help us. We need the love of God, don't we? It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It don't keep score. You did this to me this time? First time, shame on me. On you? Second time, shame on me. You ain't going to do that again. Lord, help us. All right? It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to suffered wrongs. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. That's the love of God. Lord, help us. So what I want us, I believe the Lord wants us to understand today is this how your love looks? Is this the action when you see some action? Is that your reaction a reaction of love? That you're not touchy or fretful or resentful? Some folks are very touchy about certain things. Lord, help us. Very touchy about it, all right? Now, let's turn to another scripture. 1 John 4:16. We have known
and
we have believed
that God has to us.
The love that God has unto us.
God is love.
God is love. So what are we doing? When we're seeking for more of the love of God, we're seeking to be more like God. We're asking the Lord to purify our motivations and our hearts and all that. What are we asking? We're asking, Lord, I want you to take out what doesn't look like you. And I want what looks like you to be reflected in my life on a day-to-day basis. So, Lord, would you take this out? And so when the Lord allows these things to happen that seem like they go against what I feel like is the best thing for me, then what do? I seek the Lord and I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Purify my heart so that I can obey what you have shown me. The truth of my situation, the reality of what I'm dealing with, the Lord says, you need a greater level of humility. This is why I'm allowing this to happen to you. When we seek the Lord like that, the Lord gives us what we need. And when he gives us what we need, it shows it in a very clear and understanding way. We are to obey that. And when we obey that, the Lord blesses us in our obedience. And then it enables us to purely love that person that may be doing something completely negative against us, all right?
God is love.
God is love.
And he that dwelleth in love,
he dwelleth in God,
and God in him.
Herein is our love made perfect.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
So one of the things that we talked about here is the heart must be purified. So the Lord wants us, our hearts to be purified, and he wants our love to be perfected. So those are two things that we want to understand here. I need my heart purified before I can have my love perfected. If there is something about my heart that's impure, and I'm not talking about sin and just sinful things, that's not what I'm talking about. There are motivations, there are things about me that I don't know, I don't even know. And there are things that the Lord wants to change about me. So how does he do it? He takes the people that are closest to us and he allows them to rub against us. And he says, I want you to look at the reality of the situation. And I want you to understand that there is something impure. There is something impure about your heart, about your motivations, about your reasoning behind what you're doing and what you're not doing. There is something impure about that. And you've got to get that pure before we can perfect your love. Before your love for that person can be perfected. You know what I see too much of in today's day and time? The counseling that I do, it is always somebody else's fault of what they're doing against this individual. Lord, help us. If you can straighten up the other man, then everything about me would be just right. That's not true. There's something impure. The way you're looking at it is not right. There are some folks that are looking at, yes, your husband or your wife is a problem, but they're not the problem. All right? You understand the difference? The thing that you're dealing with is a problem, but you are the problem that God's trying to correct. This is what I try to say to folks from time to time. Yeah, I know that that's an issue. I know that what that person is doing. I know that what those people are doing. I know that it's not right and they should make a change. But what can I do? Lay them across my lap and give them a spanking? I wish I could. Can I force them to do what's right? We put people in prison and they still don't act right. It's still not a place of rehabilitation. So the only thing that I can do is to work on my heart, your heart. You are the problem. Your heart needs to be purified from motivations, from reasoning, from why they don't have a right, from the pride. You don't have a right to do that to me. Do you know who I am?
I am not your child, whatever. Purify your heart. Lord, have mercy. Lord, why are you letting that person do this to me? What is it that you're saying to me? What is it that you're trying to get over to me? Because I'm having trouble. I'm struggling trying to love this person. This person is getting on my nerves, and I have a problem trying to love them. And the Lord says, I want you to purify your heart and obeying the truth that I show you. And once you do that, then I can perfect that love that you have for that person. So what that tells us is that most of us, if not every single one of us, there is a level of imperfection about our love for one another. There can be a level of imperfection about our love for God himself. And so the Lord says, the purer you get in your heart, the more perfect your love for me becomes. Lord, help us.
Read.
And he that dwelleth in love,
He that dwelleth in love, not just have love, but the love of God is in your heart and you are in the love of God. You're dwelling, that's where you're living, in the love of God. Lord, help me to love you more. Teach me how to love you more. Teach me how to love my brothers more. Lord, have mercy on us. That's what we pray on a day. I don't want more faith. I'm not praying so much for more faith because I realize and understand that the more I love God, the more faith I'm going to have in him.
Amen.
Do you realize? Think about this for a moment. The people that you love the most are the people that you trust the most. Think about that for a moment. You know what they will and will not do. You know what you can depend on them for. Those people that you love the most are the people that you trust the most. So the more I love God, the more I get to know him, the more we understand who he is and what he is and what he's doing, then we can trust him more. So we seek not for a greater level of faith. I'm not saying don't do that. Lord, increase our faith, but Lord, increase our love. And as you increase our love, our faith will automatically go up. All right, read.
Herein is our love made perfect.
Is our love made perfect.
The day of judgment.
Say that again. Herein is our love made perfect.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Because as he is,
so are we in this world.
There is no fear in love.
Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment.
He that feareth
is not made perfect in love.
We love him
because he first loved us.
If a man say,
I love God, but I can't stand brother so-and-so. Ooh, sister so-and-so, I don't even be around her. I'm not even around her because it's just something about her that I don't like. If a man say, I love God, I love the Lord, but I love the Lord. Saints, I love the Lord, but I can't stand somebody sitting in the pews. Lord, help.
He is a liar.
Uh-oh. He said, if you say I love God and you hate your brother, he is, I don't hate her, I just don't like her. He is a what?
He is a liar.
A liar. And what did it say about liars? All liars should have the part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Lord, help us. Oh, Brother Darrell, don't. That's going a little bit too far. Well, that's just what the Bible says. You can't hate nobody and still love the Lord.
Amen.
They're mutually exclusive.
Amen.
Your love for the Lord must have a love for your brother.
Amen.
Now, we understand that sometimes that love is not as perfect as it should be, and this is what we're talking about, perfecting that love. But the way that we perfect the love is to perfect our own hearts. Because if we don't do it like that, we're going to be so concerned about that other person, what they're doing to us, that we're not even going to be able to make wise, consistent choices in our best interest and in the best interest of those that are around us. Pray, read, I'm sorry.
For he that loveth not his brother,
whom he has seen,
how?
Now you haven't seen God. But do you realize that the Lord, he says here, how can you say, love God whom you haven't seen, and you love not your brother who you have seen? It's impossible. So there's something for us to dig out of this particular passage of Scripture, that I have to love those that I see, those that are around me. I've got to love them. All right?
And this commandment have we from him.
This commandment have we from him.
That he who loveth
that he who loveth God, now is it a commandment? And this commandment we have from who? From him. I wonder who that him is. Is that Jesus? The Lord is saying that he who loves God, love his brother also. Saints, don't let anything come between you and any other saint of God. Don't let anything come between you and your brother. There are going to be things that the devil, there are going to be misunderstandings that the devil is going to bring out. I was talking to somebody about a particular matter one time, and I got a call from somebody else. And this other person came and said, well, you know, I heard this, that you said that this is what was going to happen if this happened, and I just had to hear from your own mouth. And I said, no, that's not at all what I said. And I told other folks the same thing. And this person had taken it and they had just twisted it. I don't know that they did it maliciously. I would trust that they didn't do it maliciously. But it was nothing about what I said. And so when I explained what I meant, that other person understood. I said, now, you know what? I think that came from this person. Because this is the last person that said this, that I said it to. So I'm going to go back to that person, and I'm going to talk to that person and straighten that out. And so whoever you heard it from, because this person had heard it from somebody who had heard it from somebody who had heard it from somebody else. So we got to be careful what we say. We got to be careful what we spread about other people. Maybe, and on this particular matter, this person and I didn't agree on a particular matter that they felt very close to. I felt very close to it too, but we didn't agree. And so this went circulating out, and if we're not careful, we'll get upset about it. You know, I was a little bit not too happy about it. I said, well, let me call this person and straighten it out. And after I straightened it out, I don't know how straight it is with them, but I felt clear before the Lord that this is what I was to do. But here's what we're saying. We're saying, I've got to love that person. I've got to love my brother. I've got to not allow anything to come between, even this misunderstanding, and even though we didn't completely agree on this particular matter, I've got to love them anyway. And I can't allow the enemy to come between me and my brother on a misunderstanding. Straighten it out. And even if we still don't agree, you know what our job is to do? My job, your job, is to humble ourselves before one another and give it to the Lord and love them anyway. Do you realize that in a marital relationship, which is in any kind of relationship, do you realize that there's going to be a level of compromise that everybody has to have? Do you realize that the Lord, and I want you to understand me when I say this, do you realize that the Lord doesn't give everything that he wants to give us at the beginning of our spiritual relationship with him? He said, many things I have to tell you, but you're not able to bear them just yet. So you know what that means to me? He accommodates us. He accommodates our weaknesses. He doesn't mean that he justifies and says it's okay for you to stay there, but he says, I'm going to withdraw and I'm not going to say some things to you because you wouldn't be able to bear. You don't have what you need right now to be able to bear the things that I want to tell you in the future. He said, but I'm going to bring you to that place, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to lovingly bring you to the place that I can tell you some hard things. But he didn't do it right away. And do you realize that the Lord, that we must do the same thing with our brothers? Maybe there is something about them that you want to tell them, and you just wish, you're just biting your tongue. I wish I could tell brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you need to stop doing that. And the Lord says, don't tell them, they can't bear it right now. And the love that I have for them, not to break them down, the love that you must have, not to break them down, you must withhold that, and you must suffer long and bear up under that, under all things, until at which time the Lord gives you an opportunity to speak to them now. Now they can handle it. That's charity. Well, they just need to be told. They don't need to be told now. And charity suffers long. It bears all things. And so you're going to pull back, and you're not going to say anything because that's what the practical side of love looks like. I'm not going to tell her this. I'm not going to tell them this because I know that if I tell them that, sparks are going to fly. So you hold it. You hold it. Brother Darrell, that's just not right. What they did was not right, and they need to be told not to do it. I didn't say they didn't need to be told. The Lord didn't say they didn't need to be told, but he said that part of charity is bearing up under it. All right? It's not self-seeking. You're seeking, most time we're seeking for things that make us more comfortable. And what that person is doing is making me uncomfortable. So I want you to change. And the Lord is saying, no, I want you to change. That's why I allowed that person to have those kinds of issues with you. Particularly, I know this personality conflict. I knew you would have that kind of a reaction. And I wanted you to see your reaction. Do you know the Lord lets us see our own reactions? Have you ever been shocked by your reaction? Done something, said something, and reacted in a way that... And then you had to kind of straighten it up because other folks was watching. What did you do about that? Purify your own heart. When the Lord shows it to you, purify it. And then your love can be perfected. All right, one other scripture. John 13, 34. Have it, read it, please. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So how are we supposed to love the Lord? When we did something wrong, when we spit in his face, did he stop carrying the cross and drop the cross and say, who did that? Who did that? Did he do that? No. He kept carrying it. When somebody hit him, or when somebody said something, did he drop the cross and go over there and say, now say it to my face? Did he say that? No. He kept going, didn't he? So he says, a new commandment I give you. When these people do these things to you, do you know what I want you to do? I want you to love them like I love them. That's what I want you to do. All right, read.
As I have loved you,
that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Saints, are we obedient? Have we been obedient in obeying the truth? Let's turn back to that 1 Peter. Have we been obedient in obeying the truth? 1 Peter 1. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, you see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, what it says here, he's given a new commandment. The new commandment is to love one another. This is how everybody's going to know it. Know that you're my disciples, that you have fervent love one toward another. Now, is this an area that we feel like, Lord, I don't feel like I've lived. This is for you to examine. It's for us to examine. It's for us to find a place in our own private prayer closet and ask the Lord, Lord, I think I've lost some of the love that I should have for my brethren. Do you know that the Lord said that to one of the churches? He said, you did everything right. You're very cordial to him. You're doing everything that you're supposed to do. But do you know what? You've lost your first love. You don't have the love for that individual, for me, the Lord is saying in Revelations, the second chapter, I believe. He said, you don't have the love. I believe it was the church at Ephesus. He said, you've lost your first love, the passion that you had. Lord, do you know that we can lose our love for our brethren? We can lose our love for the word of God. We can lose the love that we need to have for the service of the Lord, for the worship of God. And we wonder why we don't want to come to church anymore, or why, well, it's just boring. They don't, if we had a piano, what did you come for? The piano? Did you come for, Brother Darrell, you need to preach a very entertaining message, and if I jumped down and did all these theatrics, would you still come? No, you've lost something. So we have to say, Lord, examine my heart because it's deceitful. I'm blaming it on the way the church teaches. I'm blaming on the fact that we don't have this, or we don't do this, or we don't do the other. I'm blaming on all of that when, in essence, the very fact of the matter is I've lost the love of God out of my heart. I don't love you anymore like I used to. I don't love the saints like I used to. I don't even love those people that are around me. Lord, help us. That's not the problem. Maybe that is a problem, but the problem is that I've lost the love of God out of my heart. I've left my first love. I'm going through the motions, the skeletons of everything. I'm doing everything just like I'm supposed to. The Lord commended that church.
And do you know, I've been in places in my own experience that I felt like, Lord, I need to repent of where I am. Because there's something has gotten in the way that I love that more than I love you. I didn't know it. My heart is deceitful. I've got to remember that. But no woman would or man would want their wives or their companions to have a greater love for somebody else than they have for them. Nobody wants that. God doesn't want it either. And saints, what we have to do, we have to examine our hearts. We have to examine where we are. Do I have the love of God that I need? Is it perfected? Am I seeking for a perfected love? And when the Lord showed it to me, when the Lord said, well, Lord, I was thinking about those scriptures. Lord, I want to be right. I want to have the love of God in my... And I began to read, and he said, you've done all of this. Let's read that. You find that in Revelation 2nd chapter. Unto the church, angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. All that is commendable. Everything that he said so far is commendable. This is a commendable group of people, a commendable church, a commendable congregation. All that the things that they're doing is right. It seems like that's right, and it seems like that would be enough. But what is he saying? What is he saying? Nevertheless, with all of these good things that you've done, I have somewhat against you because you don't love me like you used to. You've let something creep in. You've justified some action, some reaction. There's something about your love that is imperfect. And the only thing that we can find is that there is something about your heart that's impure. Lord, help us. So he says, you've left your first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come unto thee quickly, and I will remove my candlestick out of its place except you repent. So there are times that we have to repent that, Lord, I didn't realize that my heart had deceived me. My heart had told me that I loved you and I can put you in this little box right here, but I can do all, I can spend all, you know what, you have all day to do, all week to do what you want to do. And do you know it's difficult for some folks to come to church for an hour and a half? Lord, help us. Examine my life. You know what? What if I spent the time that was the time that we, my wife, or those people that you love, have a certain time that they set with you? Then they're going to take you to a restaurant, and they're going to spend a little time with you, and you continually not show up. What's it going to do? You know what? That's going to tell them something about you. All right? That's going to tell. I continue to make you a plate. I made you a plate, and I set it in the refrigerator. I thought you were going to come. I laid it all out. I thought you were going to come, and you didn't show up again. Tell something about your heart and how you respond to that person. It tells something about you. And so they do it again, and you don't show up again. Now, listen, I am not taking a bat and beating you over the head with it. I don't want to do that. I just want us, I believe what the Lord wants to show us is that we have to stop blaming somebody else for my imperfect heart. Am I impure? And when I say impure, I'm not talking about that you're going out gambling and stealing and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just talking about my motives, my motivation, your motivation. And when I say me, I'm talking in general terms. I'm not talking about me. I believe you understand that. And so what the Lord wants to do, he wants you to look at you. He wants you to look at the fact that whether or not you still love him like you used to. Because that's how folks are going to know that you're my disciples, because you have fervent charity one toward another. You're not talking about Sister so-and-so behind her back. You're not talking about the preacher and what's going on. You're not spreading rumor. You're not doing that. And you have a clarity and an understanding that, Lord, there's something that I want you to perfect my love for the truth. It's not perfect anymore. Let me tell you something else. I'm going to be finished here. There are a lot of folks. That we can listen to. That will tell. If somebody comes up and they tell you something about somebody, it's going to affect you, isn't it? They tell you something negative about somebody, it's going to have an effect on you, isn't it? Yeah. Somebody told you that they saw somebody in a position that they shouldn't have been in. You're going to have a little question in your mind. And you have to do something with that, don't you? Do you know what? There is a lot of folks that are talking about the things of God. You see it out in the media. There you see folks around the church that are talking. Don't listen to that, because it's going to affect you in some kind of a way, and it's going to cause your love for the truth of God's word to dissipate. And if you're not careful, you're going to be believing a lie that somebody's telling you. It looks like it's true. Lord, help us. But I believe what the Lord wants you and I to do is to examine. Our love, and be honest with ourselves, our love for God, and our love one for another. Pray for me.